Hey everyone, Sarah here. The episode you're about to hear was recorded on March 13th, 2020. And while most of the episode is about ideas for keeping kids busy when you're stuck at home, the first 20 minutes or so include a conversation between Megan and me about what things were like in our communities on that date, March 13th. As you know, a lot has changed since then. And so some of the things we discuss are no longer relevant, or maybe even were proved wrong in the time since then. If you want to skip right to the tips, you can fast forward to around the 20 minute mark. And if you do listen through, just remember that lots has changed in the local and federal recommendations since we recorded the episode. We are personally following all the latest recommendations with our own families, and we will continue to bring you episodes that tell the story of where we are at a given moment in time, even as things change really rapidly. So just a reminder to listen with that context. Thanks for being here, friends. On to the episode. Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 252 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here, as always, with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So, just real talk here. We are recording
quite a week,
this.
Huh?
Yeah, what a week. To orient you in time, we're recording this on Friday, March 13th, and you are hearing it on Tuesday, the 17th, and we are in the midst of coronavirus. Now, let me just quickly say, we're going to chat about what's been happening in, you know, recently in relative real time for a few minutes. And then the bulk of this episode is going to offer some tips and ideas and product recommendations for when you are stuck inside with kids. That's today's topic. And of course, that's inspired by recent current events. But that's a topic that, you know, is
relevant many times of year.
Exactly. Useful yes. In many stages of motherhood. And it's interesting, Megan, we pulled our Instagram in Instagram stories. I asked people just what kind of content are you looking for right now? Do you want to help process this coronavirus, COVID-19? And do you want us to talk more about it? Or do you want a total distraction from it? And it was interesting to see those percentages. It's almost half and half. Half of you want a complete distraction. A lot of you want help with the logistics of, like, I'm stuck inside with kids. And so, you know, to be honest, our content over the next several weeks will probably, we are figuring this out right alongside you guys, and it'll probably reflect a little bit of both. We all need some distraction. Hopefully you heard our More Than Mom a couple days ago on Sunday, which is complete fluff and distraction. So we will try to meet you all where you are, but that's the plan for today. We're going to talk for, you know, 10 minutes or so about really what's happening right now in our communities. And then we'll move into ideas for being stuck at home with kids. That's the plan.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, by the time this episode comes out, like, the mood may have shifted one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So maybe people who right now just need a distraction, because I feel like yesterday, Thursday, the 12th was for me like DEFCON 5 as far as it, like drinking from a water hose. And I think I told you that I just felt I don't remember the word that I used, like all in a tizzy, because I couldn't focus on anything. I felt like everything was falling like dominoes, right? And so by next week, maybe things will continue to change. Maybe they'll have calmed down. Like, we don't know. So we're going to be planning our content, I think, a little more on the fly as this all emerges over the next few weeks.
Well, and the truth about producing any podcast, we're able to be fairly nimble, and we can turn around an episode in a couple of days, but we're not live streaming. Like, there's always going to be a little bit of a delay in when we record and when we release. So, you know, we're not your breaking news podcast, and we're not going to try to be, but it also felt like it would be weird, because we are two moms who are also dealing with this. It would be weird not to talk about it for a bit today. Oh, and I didn't even mention that if you listened last Tuesday, we said that today was going to be part two of planning family travel.
Oh, right. We did. Nope.
Which I'm sure you can understand why that feels just completely inappropriate and unhelpful. So there will, at some point in the future, when we all get back to booking our plane tickets and all of that, there will be a part two of our planning family travel. And so that's just tabled for now. So lots of things up in the air.
Well, I just want to mention something about that I think is so funny, is that you and I, like, a week ago mentioned, like, we talked when we did the episode about planning travel, we kind of mentioned coronavirus and, like, how do we feel? Like, was there, you know, any anxiety? And I think I said something like, well, you know, I've got my trips booked, and if they don't work out, they don't. And, like, there's nothing I can do about that. Then a few days later, we were about to, like, it didn't even occur to us until we were about to record that episode, the part two, that we're like, oh, wait, like, that would have been 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's how fast we were supposed to. This has changed. It felt like a wait and see, and how's, you know. And so again, we're just happy that you all are listening. I'm imagining a lot of you listening in some kind of different situation than you thought you'd be in on March 17th. Like, we're all, you know, there's something unifying about it in that regard.
Most likely you're not heading to a St. Patrick's Day parade.
No,
today,
you're probably having one in your house.
Exactly.
Can I tell you something funny about that? Yeah. I ordered a bunch of stickers because they were requested by the classroom for the first grade St. Patrick's Day celebration. So they're coming to my house from Amazon, but there ain't no first grade St. Patrick's Day. Like, we're closed next week. And so I will have like 500 St. Patrick's Day stickers happening at my kitchen table today. Enough for a first grade class.
Oh, that's so cute. Maybe you could like put them in your mailbox and have people swing by and pick them up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Well, let's talk about that, because you mentioned that your school's closed next week. Mm-hmm. So like, let's just kind of, I guess, update everybody about where we are and what dominoes all fell yesterday, and what the general, I thought like the general vibe is very interesting, like in our local community. So I'll start.
Yeah, you go first.
Yeah. Well, we found, I mean, there's been all this like buzz over the last few days. And of course, I have friends who are teachers and friends who work in the education system in various ways. And it was like, by Wednesday, it was like, you know, it's not if but when, but we don't know, and blah, blah, blah. And then yesterday, I was supposed to actually speak at my church this weekend, which is held in a school, and got a note that it was canceled. And I was like, okay, well, that could mean lots of things. Like, maybe they're just canceling outdoor groups or outside groups, blah, blah, blah. But that felt like the first big sign to me, like, okay. And then last night at about 11 p.m., our governor announced the closure of all schools statewide. Okay. So charter, public, and private for 3 weeks. And then on the end of the 3 weeks is spring break. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at 4 weeks with the kids home. And in our school, or in our state, we're not able, or the schools aren't able to require the kids to do work. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So we'll have, like, they're telling all the kids to bring their textbooks home, and we're being encouraged to check the blogs every day. And we already got an email today with, I can't remember, they put like enrichment activities or something, but I don't think they're able to mandate it. My guess is that is because lots of kids in Michigan don't have access to internet at home. Yeah. And because it would just make everything really unequal if some schools were doing it and some weren't. So that's my guess, but it's kind of like, it takes a little bit of pressure off of me, because I don't want to suddenly be responsible for homeschooling my kids for 3 weeks. Right. That's a hard thing to jump in and out of. But then it also makes me go like, okay, so how am I going to, you know, there's things that they will need to do to keep up. Like, how are we going to put structure around that and make sure it happens? So that's kind of where I'm at. I will say right now, like today on Facebook, yesterday I was like, I felt like was the day the mood changed. And today is the day everyone's like, okay, like trying to have some levity about it. Kids are going to be home. What are people going to do about childcare? Like there's a lot of that kind of buzz. Yeah. So what about you?
Okay. So for us, yesterday also felt like the day everything got real. Again, for us recording, that's Thursday the 12th. Coincidentally, today, Friday the 13th, was already a school holiday just for our school. We needed like one more day off. You know how they add like a random. So today was never going to be a school day, which was a little bit helpful, I think, because there was so much uncertainty yesterday. So we are at a public charter school, and so we're allowed to make our own schedule. You and I were talking before we started recording. I guess if it came down as a state mandate, that would be different. But so far, the state of California is so big, that hasn't happened. It's happening district to district. Lots of districts are closing. Our board had a late night emergency board meeting last night. They decided to move spring break to next week, which I try to explain that to my kids, and they're like, so are we going to do the things on spring break that we're, I'm like, no.
Are we going
like,
on vacation?
It's not really relevant to your life at all. Is like in an effort to miss the fewest instructional days possible, they're calling next week spring break. They authorized the executive director to close the following week as needed. And they didn't say it was going to happen, but I'm going to go ahead and assume. But for us so far, that's only 2 weeks. I mean, I feel like that's going to change. I think they've made the decision to make it sound like it's more week to week as the story develops. And I don't have any judgment about that. But if it makes it hard, there's so many nuances to this. So
yeah, there really are.
I'm not even going to like really have an opinion about it, but that's the reality. So next week is quote unquote spring break, which is laughable. The following week is likely closed, and then it will be week to week after that. But we have schools all over our area, I think our public school district as of right now has not announced a closure. And there was some misinformation about that. And then another charter school right next to ours announced a 4-week closure. So we're kind of all over the map. And, you know, California is very, very large and lots of different education options. So it's still a moving target. But I know for sure my kids will be home likely for the next 2 weeks, if not longer.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we can't Monday morning quarterback this stuff, right? These decisions, because I know that like a lot goes into them. I know that there's a plan to like feed kids who are otherwise not going to have access to food during the day. And that's all helpful. But like there's this thing for me, like I want to know it's going to be 3 weeks or like that like would make me kind of crazy because it would make it really difficult, especially if you were trying to plan your workload, childcare, like what are you going to be doing in 2 weeks? It's like, I understand why they wouldn't do that. Yeah. But to me, that almost creates more of that up in the air feeling. So I kind of appreciate that Michigan was like, no choice. It's just shut her down.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's not going to work as well in some districts as others or be as, I don't know, accepted or welcome in some districts as others. But yeah, it feels like it just took it took all the decision making out of the hands of local districts, which is probably just as well.
Yeah.
So
what are you observing about you live in a small town, a close-knit small town, and it hasn't been very long. I know we're talking like only the last couple of days that stuff really got real, but what are you observing? Because I truly don't know. I feel like we're in quarantine right now and we're not. No one that I've been exposed to has been diagnosed. No one I know is sick, but in my mindset, it's almost like we're quarantined. And I think it's because I haven't found what the socially acceptable level, like, should my kids play with neighbors down the street? I literally don't know. I mean,
I just had this conversation with someone earlier and they said like something about being in quarantine. I said, well, we're not in quarantine. I mean, that's very different. Schools closing is an effort and hopefully a very effective one to stop having hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small people together all day long. Right. And so I guess we wouldn't want to then go recreate that by getting groups of 50 of them together at the local bowling alley or whatever. But to me, I mean, am I not going to like go hang out with my brother and his family? I mean, we will be doing that because it's, you know, that's like, I think as long as we're kind of staying away from, well, let me put it this way. I'm not an epidemiologist. I keep telling people, I keep reminding myself of that. And I don't really know the best thing to do. And so you're often following kind of whatever the loudest voice is in your circles. Mm-hmm. And so when people talk about social distancing, does that mean you don't go anywhere ever? Because I'm not sure how that's going to play out if this lasts for a month, you know? Yeah. Or does it mean you're just smart about it and that probably you can look to what's happening, like what the recommendations are to not get groups of more than 100 together, like things like that, cancel events, cancel things where there's going to be lots of people. Be super fanatical about sanitizing, not just hand washing, but like wiping surfaces. And when you're out, I mean, I've heard from places that have like, I've gotten an interesting selection of emails today from local businesses and some of them are extremely proactive and very specific about what they're going to do. Like, you know, we will be sanitizing, our like surfaces between like every so often. And we're going to have additional sanitation wipes or sanitized wipes for you to use. And like, we will bring your food to your car. Like there's just all these like things people are putting into place. And some are kind of very blasé about it. And the ones that are blasé make me feel like they're not taking it that seriously, which makes me not want to go there. So I think that we're all probably going to have to meet somewhere, like find our own happy medium. Especially if this continues for a long time. So I don't know. Have you heard, like, are people just keeping themselves in the house and not going anywhere?
No, I feel like so far that's my mindset. Can I also say it's super rainy here and I love our rainy California winters and I was wishing for it. But now it makes it feel even weirder because like the kids can't even go out in the backyard. So I kind of think that barring a lot of change in the general news or the general feeling, that the neighborhood will start to relax a little bit. And as long as everyone's healthy, that, you know, kids can run around in the garages. We won't share meals together probably or like, but, you know, and in terms of going to get food or going out to restaurants, my kids, that was one of their first questions. Can we go out to eat? And I said, I think we can find ways to patronize local restaurants, but I'm not sure. Like, give me a day. Right. I keep just asking my kids, like, give me a couple of days.
To think about it. And things are going to be different. Like by the time this even goes, that even airs, like we're going to see in certain communities that this is relatively controlled or like trending in the right direction and some maybe not. So I feel like we all, like, this is a very big country we live in. Mm-hmm. And I know not all of our listeners live in the United States, but it's huge geographically. And I made a joke earlier, like, even in Michigan, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan may as well be another country. It's so mm-hmm. far away. So it's really hard, I think, to not get caught up in what people are saying about their community mm-hmm. and then, like, take that and apply it to your own. Mm-hmm. Like, full, you know, full stop. We have to do every single thing that other people are doing. And I think we're all doing a lot, it feels mm-hmm. like, right now. I feel like everyone's taking it really seriously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went to the store yesterday. It's kind of funny. I had this weird, I need to go get all my last minute things. Mm-hmm. So I went and I bought a whole bunch of stuff for baking. Mm-hmm. Like, because I guess, like, if we're quarantined, we're going to need cookies, I guess. And so I bought a whole bunch. And then I found myself going and buying a bunch of dog bones because I was afraid that the dog would be bored. But this doesn't make any sense. This is like my mothering.
Her life isn't changing at all.
Not even a little. Like, her life is, like, completely going to stay exactly the same. But it's like my nurturing, like, mother gene just went into some kind of overdrive. And I was mm-hmm. like, we need, like, flour and sugar and baking soda
it's
and
comfort.
Dog bones.
Yeah, it's comfort. Yes. Yes. Comfort items almost.
Well, I want everyone to be, like, happy and comfortable. Oh. So, but then I had to, like, also realize that I couldn't order my contacts online. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if it's related to this. I suspect it is some kind of warehouse staffing issue someplace, right? So then I made an appointment to go to the mall on Monday to get new contacts because now I know I don't want to be, like, at a mall right now.
Right.
But if I am in the house for 4 weeks and don't have any contacts, like, that's just too much for me. So I'm going to go and take all the precautions I can take. I also ran out of dry shampoo. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. There's probably just going to be, and it doesn't sound like stores are closing. So, like,
right.
There have to be ways that we can kind of go about our lives and still being like an abundance of caution, right? At the same time.
So, and again, this is Friday. And by Tuesday, when you hear this, maybe that sounds crazy. But I think so. I have a hair appointment on Tuesday. I really need my grays covered. Hopefully that can still happen.
I hope so, too. I hope so for your sake. So the other thing, I guess, before we get back into the meat of the show is or this topic is just, like, the perspective of this. This is a lot shorter. So let's just say the thing we're really talking about, besides the anxiety around the illness itself, which mm-hmm. is a totally separate thing, but this disruption to our lives is a lot shorter than summer break. Mm-hmm. And it's not much longer than winter break, mm-hmm. but it feels so different. So I'm wondering, Sarah, like, in your mind, do you know why that is? Like, what are your triggers? Go ahead.
I think the uncertainty and the fact that it wasn't planned, number one.
Right.
But number two, the cancellation of other events around and the recommendation not to go into public places means we have a lot less we can do with our kids and our small kids in particular. And that's different from both summer and winter, which, you know, you look forward to going to your fairs or festivals. Well, you and I don't because we hate fun. But, you know, we go bowling and we go to the movies. And so that feels a little bit different. I think what you mentioned about kids needing to stay academically, especially older kids and teenagers needing to stay, you know, academically a little bit caught up, that feels different. People's work lives being disrupted, right? And so I think there's a lot that feels different about it. Even if it ends up being a 3 or 4 week thing that, you know, we can get back to normal, there's a lot that feels different to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for me, there's a lot of worry about other people, their livelihoods, health, like all those things. And maybe that can be harnessed. I know I woke up this morning thinking, like, maybe this is the opportunity for, like, me to think about ways to be helpful, because I know mm-hmm. that can be a way to cope with anxiety and uncertainty. And so that might be something we can dive into in a future episode. Mm-hmm. But I just think that you're right. It's the fact that, like, everything else is shutting down. There's the unraveling of social fabric mm-hmm. and then the not knowing what's the best thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if there were, like, a month long snow day, but you're doors were snowed shut. Like, maybe you could have food airlifted in, but, like, you don't even know if you're supposed to go out and get it. Yeah. Like, it feels more restrictive. You're right about that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So the plan is we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I have some product recommendations. It's by no means an exhaustive list because we are going to need all of the product recommendations, but I made a list of a few things that I think are really great to keep kids busy inside. And then we'll move into some general tips for kind of surviving stuck inside seasons of life, coronavirus being one, but, you know, having a new baby, sick days, snow days, there's a whole bunch of reasons you might need these ideas. So we'll be right back. As someone who works in podcasting, I'm always on the lookout for podcasts my kids can listen to, but I'm kind of picky. Just like with other forms of kids' media, some is really fantastic and others...
Yeah, make you want to turn down the volume or maybe hit like the advance button a couple times.
Yes, right. Exactly. So I was so excited when our sponsor, Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, reached out to let us know that their podcast is back for season 3. I am a longtime fan of their best-selling book, and we also love the podcast, too.
Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls podcast was created to help close the confidence gap in young girls because, Sarah, this is crazy if you think about it. By the age of 6, many girls already believe that they are less smart than boys, and 54% of women over the age of 35 said that gender stereotypes they experienced as a child have left a negative impact on their lives as an adult.
Yeah, you know, I think we're making great strides in showing both girls and boys what all kids are equally capable of achieving. But the thing about that progress is that when you look at historical figures and the stories our kids learn about history, there's still a pretty uneven representation there. So the Rebel Girls podcast explores the talent and the contributions of incredible women across every possible field. Astronauts, chefs, trombonists, judges, scientists, tennis players. They've got everything from Jane Goodall to Simone Biles. And I find myself listening and learning right along with all three of my kids.
Check out Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll link to a couple episodes we love in the show notes, or you can also type in Rebel Girls into your favorite podcast player and start listening now. Go check it out. Sarah, before we get back into the episode, I just want to remind everyone that you can connect with us in between podcast episodes on Instagram and Facebook, especially times like this when things seem to be changing really quickly. Those platforms offer the chance to check in with us basically in real time.
Yeah, because our podcast episodes are recorded at least a couple days ahead of when you hear them. But on Instagram stories and in the Facebook group, things are a little more up to the minute. So we are at the Mom Hour in both places. And for the Facebook group, check the link in the show notes. It'll get you right there. And make sure you answer the questions when you request to join. That way we know you're part of our podcast community. Okay, back to the episode. Okay, so we're going to dive right into some product recommendations. Yesterday on Instagram stories for the Mom Hour, I literally started going through our coloring book and activity book cupboard. And I was like, here, this is a good one. This is a good one. So it's a good reminder. Just make sure you're following us on social because we're able to give those kind of real time tips. But I'll just kind of go through these. Here's one I didn't think of until this morning. Megan, you can buy advent calendars on Amazon right now for regular prices, the same amount. Right. They're not hard to get. And think, I know it's not Christmas time or the holidays, but if you are stuck inside for a number of days, I was trying to think of what would be something fun to do every day or to look forward to. I would totally get, like, you know, the ones with like Lego minifigures or
toys and little figurines. Yes,
so I looked,
really
I was curious to see if they were even available or if they, you know, you could get Prime shipping and stuff, and you can't. So I think an advent calendar, you could skip the holiday part of it if you wanted or put a funny spin on that. But if your kids got to open something every day as a way to mark the passage of time, I think that could be really cool for this particular stuck inside phase that we're in.
Good idea.
One that I love is by Melissa and Doug, which is, of course, a favorite brand, but it's called the Puffy Sticker Activity Book. And they have a couple different sticker pads, but this one, the stickers are thicker. They're puffy stickers and you can move them around in different scenes. So it opens like a book, but there's only like, it's not pages of a book. It's just like if you picture like a book with just the cover. And then it might be a farm scene or a dollhouse scene or a dinosaur scene.
So cute.
They're so cute. And the stickers really do peel off and on and move around in a way that's better. Melissa and Doug even has a different reusable sticker pad that is not as good as these. These are great for car rides. They're great for like setting up little scenes. I would say probably 5 and up or maybe 4 and up just because you need to have, you know, enough fine motor to move the little tiny stickers around. But this is a really fun one. So, and it comes in a 3-pack too.
Okay. So I want to just say that when I was a little kid, I loved nothing more than a puffy sticker.
I loved puffy stickers.
Because you could push on them. Like they're so texturally satisfying.
Yeah.
And then I also loved color forms. And these seem a lot like color forms.
What are color forms again?
Color forms are like those little, like they're like clings. And so you have like a scene and then the cling goes on and you can make the scene and take them off and recreate it. I mean, I was obsessed as a kid. My kids all loved color forms. And this is like that, but a little easier. They look easier to because they're puffy and they kind of have a little three-dimensional thing. Yep. They look easier to manipulate for little hands.
Yes. And the artwork, the design is really well done. So Violet loves the one that's like a pet shop. Remember the pet shop years?
Yep.
So she'll move the little animals around and move the little people around. So it almost has that same satisfaction of like paper dolls or, you know, moving little characters around. So that is a really good one.
Okay, so I want to really quickly throw something else in there. If you have an older child, something Clara has been doing lately is making basically her own reusable stickers.
Oh,
so she'll draw like some kind of cute little seat, like a cute little guy or something. Uh-huh. And then she puts clear tape on either side. Yeah. And then she cuts out around the tape. And then she, and I'll have to ask her what it's actually called because I can't remember, but if we'll put it in the show notes. There's like a little tacky tape, like a little stick'em.
Uh-huh.
That's reusable and you can stick it on the back. And so she's made these like super elaborate.
Yeah, I remember you sent me a little video of this. Now it's coming back. That's basically the big kid version of this Melissa and Doug thing.
Because
same idea.
Just get to do it themselves. And if you draw all over, like if you draw with crayon on a piece of paper, it makes the paper a little slick so that the tacky comes off.
Comes on and back off. On. Got it.
Yeah,
so you're creating that like that surface. Oh, that's a great
idea.
I'll ask her
what it's called and we can throw that in the show notes. Because I think for a kid who's maybe outgrowing a little bit, like playing with something pre-made, but it has an artistic bent, it can be fun.
Yeah.
And you can also, if they don't love to draw, you could just print out little characters and stuff online and they can cut them out.
Yep. I know, add printer ink to that list of things that we didn't know that we'd need to stock up on. I was thinking,
did any of your kids ever go through a phase where they just wanted you to print them little things all the time?
Well, my kids ask for coloring pages. That's what they call them. Just like, you know, and I Google like dragon coloring page and then I print out somebody's like JPEG somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, we do that a lot still.
Okay,
so moving on to bigger space and more gross motor, a set of the large cardboard brick blocks. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like
about?
Kindergarten blocks is the way I always think of them. Yes.
Yeah. And so they're lightweight because they're made of cardboard, but they're large. So you can build bigger structures. You can do so much with these. They do take up a lot of space, I will say. We keep ours in the garage now. You can do things where like you set up some kind of beanbag game where you try and throw stuff at them and knock them down. Like, you know, like you can build like a little house for some of your stuffed animals. My kids have set up little play school for their dolls and they'll turn these into desks and chairs. Like I'm such a big fan of multi-use toys and play things that can be used in other types of pretend and creative play. And I just think when we're stuck inside, sometimes you have to let go of like the normal layout of your living room sometimes and turn it into a castle. And so these can really, really help. So there's, I'm not brand loyal. We'll link to one that I found on Amazon, but the ones we have are actually from a different company. I would say it's not one where you got to have this one specific brand, just get some of them. So
when I think back to my kindergarten classroom, the thing I remember most were those brick cardboard blocks. Like they just captured my imagination. And then a few years later, I was at a friend's house and she had them. And I remember being so blown away. Like I didn't know that was a thing
that people
a normal
could have
kid could have in their home. And I was like, my mind like exploded. So I think that would be really exciting.
That reminds me of a really funny story. When we first moved here and we were new to this neighborhood, the little boy like across the street came over and we were just meeting all the new neighbors. And he was probably 7 at the time and he saw them all stacked up in Reed's room at the time and he goes, we used to have those, but my mom got rid of them. And I just laughed because they do take up a lot of space. And so I can see how like if you're not using them, it's like, what do you do with them? And so I felt for him, but I also felt for his mom because I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what kinetic sand is, Megan? I feel like
isn't that the sand that like sticks together? Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm thinking of? Yeah. Okay, they're like almost like little beads.
So no,
or is that different? That's putty.
The ones that have distinct little beads, you squish it together, but that doesn't do much. The ones I've had, kinetic sand looks and feels like sand, maybe very, very, very slightly damp sand because it holds together.
This isn't that stuff that used to be branded as magic sand, was it? Because I feel like this stuff got in to many cracks in my.
This cleans up. I don't feel like there's a huge cleanup problem with the kinetic sand we've had. It sticks together really well. Maybe if you had cracks in your table surface, I guess it could get in there, but it sticks together pretty well. It is so fun to play with. And it feels a little more special than Play-Doh or putty. But I mean, honestly, any Play-Doh, putty, like they're all
good. It's all going to make. Yeah, they're all good. And they're all going to, you know, they can all make a mess potentially.
Right.
But part of like the challenge is like giving into that, right?
And I think so. I think
letting
so.
It be.
And yeah. This brand that is called Kinetic Sand, I am brand loyal just because that's the one we've tried and I really like it. I haven't tried a lot of different brands, but I know sometimes you can, there are, you know, sometimes there's a quality difference in some of them. Okay. So for an older kids, and Clara would probably love something like this too. Reed got really into these paper toy monsters, these paper toy characters. And it's basically, it's not the traditional origami in the traditional sense, but it's paper folding creatures that you create.
Okay.
This is definitely like an 8 and up or even a 9 or 10 and up. But once the kid can master it, I think they'll do it for a long time. It has that very almost meditative, like you're building something. And so basically it's paper, it's cardstock. You cut it out and you follow the folding and gluing instructions and you end up with these 3D monster characters, or there's probably a paper toy, other things. But they just get super into it. So that is another good one. And I like that the book itself stores easily. Like it's like an activity book. But then when you tear out each page, you can make your little 3D guy. So
if you've got kids who are into Minecraft, they have Minecraft. I think they're called Papercraft kits too.
Yes.
And you make like the little Minecraft people. And my kids were obsessed with those for a while.
Okay.
I remember just finding the little green square head people everywhere.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you could do stop motion animation, which is another thing kids get into when they're stuck at home. You could like make your little guys move. So that's a good one. And then my last one is anything for fort building. And I used to just kind of think, well, gosh, you just need a blanket and, you know, make your own couch fort. But we have one indoor play tent and one, it's from the Crazy Forts brand, where it's like these plastic balls and rods that you stick together and then you can put a blanket over it. So it creates like the structure for a tent or a fort. And there's a bunch of different ones on Amazon, but anything like that, I think if you are stuck inside, especially if the weather's bad, it just feels like a treat when you get it
right.
out. And it takes time. You know, the kids can spend the time building the fort, then they can spend the time moving their stuffed animals into the fort, and you can set them up with an audiobook or a movie. Like it can help fill the space and seem a little bit different than just let's color in our coloring books again. So anything
I always
for
think
fort building.
Like you could almost have one of those. Another thing that I remember being blown away seeing in a real human's house and not a school classroom was the tubes that you crawl through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah.
So you could have like a fort on one side of the room, a fort on the other side of the room, and then connect.
Totally. Or even I remember because the Arizona summers were so long, I knew a couple people who had an actual inflatable bounce house, like a small one.
In their basement.
Yeah. Well, we don't have
or you don't have basements there.
But they had the houses were decently like a lot of them were open floor plan type houses,
right.
And they wouldn't leave it out all year round, but they'd get it out. So I mean, think if you need to. I mean, I think of the things I just listed. Some of them are like $7 and some of them are more, but if you need to think like that, like bounce house or indoor trampoline or indoor fort making, like I have found in general, I don't regret those purchases because they feel so special to the kids. And as long as you have a place to fold them up and store them, it's just always like, you know, pun and like rainy day activity. It's not a pun, but like, you know, it's like the reason.
It's a cliche, but there's a reason for
thank
it,
you,
right?
Exactly.
And those little jumpalines, like even the ones that are teeny tiny and have the handle, like kids will just like a super jumpy kid, like a bouncy kid will just sit there and bounce and bounce and bounce. Remember a few years ago when I used to have a scooter in my house? And the kickstart scooter?
Micro kickboard.
Thank you. And I think we actually had two, and the kids would just scoot back and forth, back and forth. And I had to like kind of turn a blind eye to it.
Yes.
So that I didn't like lose my mind, because out of the corner of my eye, I'm making dinner. Someone rolls by. And then a minute later, someone rolls by in the other direction. And it was like, okay, just don't roll in the kitchen while I'm cooking. It will be good. But it really, what it's like kids who need to move a lot, the more you can give them to help them move, the happier everyone will be.
The thing I am turning a blind eye to right now, and this was even before we really got stuck inside, was we have a few of those like grocery store inflated balls, you know, just like the cheap ones. And they just are super into throwing those balls in the house. And every once in a while, like I utter like a half-hearted like, guys, like it almost knocked something over. But like I haven't really laid down the law. So I just like balls are like whizzing by, like bouncing off the wall. And they're like, it didn't hit the TV, Mom, I promise. Like, we're just like, we're one bounce away from something actually breaking. And we just keep just turning a blind eye.
Well, there's a reason for all those like toys that have stood the test of time like that. Like the handled things with the little ball on the end of a elastic.
Yes. You know,
like the paddle.
Yes, the paddle bounce. Yeah.
The powder thing, you bounce those.
Or the balloons like, with a rubber band where you,
yes,
you punch it. You go, you know?
Yep. Yep. Or like they even have those inflatable punching guys. Like you can punch them and they fall down and they pop back up. So there's just like so many, so many things. And I guess maybe it could be kind of fun to do like a little shopping spree.
I agree.
To like
and if you're at the
up.
Beginning, a lot of our listeners are have maybe like a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, or you're like, you're not brand new, but you're just getting into some of this. And so, you know, let this be a time where if, you know, you make some purchases that will last you for many rainy days and many snow days and many homesick days, because yes, I agree. A lot of these classics will stay entertaining for a long time. So,
agreed.
Before we go to break, just a couple quick plugs. You all know that Allegra, my 11-year-old, and I have a new podcast called Kid Literate, and it's a podcast about kids' books and movies and TV and media for families. But if you need more podcast content, we have an episode about audiobooks we love. We have an episode about streaming TV shows we've watched as a family. So just a good reminder for this stuck inside phase that if you need ideas for thing, like more on the media side of things, podcasts, books, movies, audiobooks, all that, check out Kid Literate. So I'll link it up in the show notes. And it's been really fun to see those of you who are listeners of this show come over and listen there. So thank you. And then our Facebook group, what the heck? It's like kind of
blowing up all of a sudden.
Yeah. We've had it for a while, but we'd love to see you in there. And what I love to see is moms giving each other really, really helpful, you know, kind and supportive advice. And in stuck inside times, that is even more necessary. So there's a post up right now, right at the top, where people are adding things to do and ideas and tips by age range. So you can kind of look for the thread about 2 to 3-year-olds and see what people are recommending. So if you're not in the Facebook group, we'll link that up as well. And we'd love to see you there. All right, we are going to take a break. And then when we come back, we just have some general mindset tips about being stuck inside with kids. We are welcoming back our sponsor, Ritual, today. And Megan, I can honestly say that I have never experienced taking a daily vitamin like this. Like, I kind of look forward to it.
Me too. The bottle is really pretty and the capsules are really easy to swallow. And I have not had that fishy aftertaste or upset stomach once. And I often take it on an empty stomach.
Well, all of that is intentional on Ritual's part because the company was founded by a woman who couldn't find any prenatal vitamins when she was pregnant, where she felt like she could trust the ingredients, the science, the sourcing, and all of that. So she created one.
The Ritual Essential for Women really hits those specific things that most people don't get enough of from food, like D3, omega-3, magnesium, and B12. You take 2 easy-to-swallow capsules a day, and they provide 9 key nutrients that women need to support good health.
I noticed they also have a prenatal daily vitamin, too. Definitely check that out if you're thinking about getting pregnant or are pregnant. And we've got a great deal for our listeners. Ritual is offering you 10% off during your first 3 months so that you can fill the gaps in your diet with the Essential for Women multivitamin. Visit ritual.com/themomhour to get started. Again, that's ritual.com/themomhour for 10% off during your first 3 months.
Okay, Sarah, before we dive back in, I would love to ask a favor of everybody listening. If you have not yet left us a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, it would be a huge help to us.
Yes, that would be a huge help to us. Thank you so much. You know, it really does help other moms find the show. And during times like this, we think there might be a lot of moms out there looking for new podcast content to check out. If you're not sure how to leave a review, we have a post linked up on our site and in the show notes that will walk you through it. And we so appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Okay, back to the episode.
Okay, so I guess I want to just take an opportunity to like put a positive spin on one little aspect of like what a big disruption, like we all know a big disruption is a bummer.
Yeah.
And it creates problems and it creates disappointments, the travel that we have to cancel and not being able to go to certain things. But I want to remind everyone of the episode that we did a few months ago about habits, and small habits and just overhauling parts of our lives. And one of the things that I want to say both of the experts that we kind of leaned on or the expert books were that the science of behavior change says that when some habits and routines change, it's a great time to also change others.
Yeah.
So like if you've got something that you've been wanting to do, maybe like a daily walk, the weather is getting better and better by the day in many areas of the country. Maybe you're, you know, after going back to maybe after like the holiday, you haven't been super happy with your sleep habits. your eating habits, whatever. But you kind of, when you're in the middle of that same old, it doesn't occur to you day to day to change things up. Like mm-hmm. maybe now is the time to change things up. And I don't know what that would be for you, yeah. but I do think when everything feels like a mess all at once, it's like everything already feels like a mess. So you might as well just mess it up more.
I totally agree. And I would add to that, that if you're feeling a little like unmoored, like both you and I this morning were like, we don't know what to do. Like we're not anxious right. exactly, but we're confused.
Right.
Then write it down or make yourself some. Remember when I did my 40 days to 40, I had a little like fun tracker where I wrote it down every day. I agree. It's a great time to reset in some way or add some new habit, but you might need to like really make it easy on yourself or have some physical, tangible way in front of you to do it every day, because I know yeah. I'm feeling a little distracted. So I love
me
that.
Me too. Absolutely.
The first thing that came to mind for me is consume online content mindfully. And so we're all consuming a lot of content right now, whether it's staying up on the news and the headlines or stuff like this, like how to keep our kids busy, how to keep our kids engaged in their schoolwork. And there's a lot of there's great content right now. You know, you and I are content yeah. creators and we're also content consumers. But what I think is easy for it to happen is it also to be like a little bit of a numbing activity,
yes.
To zone out and scroll and scroll and scroll. And so what helps me is to have some kind of offline or separate from my phone way to use what I'm reading online and then take action. Like you were talking about taking action to help people. Like I need at some point to just stop consuming and
yes.
actually do a thing. And that thing might be to write out a plan for the day or to have a quick little yeah. meeting with my kids and be like, hey, I found some really cool crafts online. We're going to make lunch. Then you're going to clean your rooms. Then we're going to do this thing. Because at some yeah. point you have to break the consumption cycle and start actually implementing. And I think this dovetails nicely with your habits idea, because there is opportunity in being stuck inside. But at some point, we have to stop thinking about what it might be. That goes back to the habits book I read, like the yeah. motion versus action. We think we're doing something when we're just like pinning a whole bunch of homeschool activity ideas. But at
right.
some point, you have to stop doing that and actually do something. So that's what it feels like for me.
Yeah. And I think that even if the content isn't stressful in any way.
Right.
Like even if it's just mind candy,
yeah.
It's like when you eat too much candy, you feel sick for a reason, right? And like, I think there's probably a way to dovetail it. For example, I know there's a million projects in this house. I moved in a month and a half ago. I did like 88% of what needed to be done.
Always. That's always
and
how
then,
it is with moving.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm recording in my living room right now and I'm looking at the wall in front of me and there are four, what are the lamps called? Like stand lamps that are on a, you know, like they're tall.
Floor lamps?
Well, like, yeah, thank you. Floor lamps. Jeez. Okay. There's four of them all clustered together because I haven't decided which one I want to leave in this room.
Okay.
And which three are going to go someplace else in the house or in the basement or get given away. So they've been here now for like, it looks so silly, but to me, I don't even notice it anymore. I mean, just there's a million little examples of that.
Yep.
And so one way for me to maybe shift my thinking or get into action mode would be when I sit down to consume content, maybe it shouldn't be the same stuff that I read all the time.
Right.
Maybe I start looking at like some websites that show like room layouts, or mm-hmm. maybe I start reading about like decluttering after a move, whatever it is that puts me in the mind frame to do the thing I really want to do to kind mm-hmm. of match up my goal
yes.
with the thing I'm reading to help me get to that goal
yes.
or watching or listening to. So yeah, totally agree. And that actually kind of dovetails nicely into my next idea, which is to give yourself projects to do. I think it's so easy to fall into the habit of mm-hmm. only thinking about your kids' activities, mm-hmm. your kids' busyness, like their enrichment, whatever. But this is a great opportunity to maybe think about starting that podcast that you've been thinking about or a blog. In our Facebook group, one of our listeners commented that she had been downloading activities from Teachers Pay Teachers, which is a great website. It's teacherspayteachers.com,
okay.
where you can get all kinds of educational activities from like all age ranges. And then I thought, yeah, that's an amazing resource, but it's also, you can create content for that. If
right.
you have expertise in literally any educational area, Jenna does them on astronomy. She's had them up for years. It mm-hmm. makes her some pocket money, but like that might be a fun thing to pour yourself into doing, like mm-hmm. something new that kind of like build on this novelty
mm-hmm.
and take it as an opportunity.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm all about like sure, maybe this is the time to binge watch something and maybe this is the time to like bake and stuff like that. But maybe there's something you can do just for you.
Yeah.
Especially if this isn't just about your kids being home all day, but maybe your like your hours have changed or maybe your work schedule has changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Okay. So my next tip is when you have especially little ones at home, and if you have are not used to having little ones at home, we've had several comments in the Facebook group from full-time working moms who just haven't logged as many hours at home with little kids. And they fully admit, like, I just don't exactly know how to do this. And so think like a teacher. And so what teachers know how to do is, if I made a little sub list here, teachers know how to divide a long day into small, yes, predefined blocks of time. Now, you may choose to share those blocks of time with your kids, depending on their ages, or not. But if you have a plan that's broken into 35 or 40 or 50 minute segments just for yourself, that can really provide a little bit of structure. And of course, you can be loose within that structure. But if you're feeling unmoored, if you're feeling like the day is going to be 11 million hours long, think like a teacher, break it into small blocks of time where you know approximately what the what your quote unquote class is going to be doing at that time. Lots of singing, lots of music, right? I mean, dance parties and listening to music and singing makes everything feel a little bit better. And then mandatory outside time. Like everybody needs it. You need it. Your kids need it. Think like those teachers who put 25 kindergartners in snowsuits and send them outside.
Yep.
Like, there's a reason they go through that hassle. And I'm sure those are just the three that come to mind for me. But think of your favorite preschool, kindergarten, first grade teachers and just think, okay, I don't have to recreate the classroom in my house. That's not the point at all. But what do teachers know? What is the wisdom and the genius that teachers know? And how can I incorporate that into these days? Because
I love that. Yeah. And I have a couple to add, actually. Yeah. So one would be that the thing you said about getting 25 kindergartners out with all their stuff on, like they wouldn't be able to do that if they hadn't built systems into their day to that happen. Like there's a reason that they are able to, it's classroom management. And there's a reason they're able to do, so we don't have to, again, we are not dealing usually, I don't think any of our listeners have 28 kids, but well, I mean, maybe, you know, we don't have to do it like that, but there probably is a way to do it. And it would be like one of those things that will take 15 minutes of work, maybe half an hour of thought, and then it will pay dividends for quite some time. The other thing I think really good teachers are great at, and I have been amazed seeing this play out over the years, is they're so good at taking kids seriously without reacting to everything they say or dropping everything to, you know, like a teacher who like a kid comes up while they're in the middle of something and is like tugging on their shirt because whatever they have to say is so important. And the teacher has a way of like acknowledging this kid's humanity and the very large issue that this is to the kid while not doing anything, like literally not even taking their eyes off the paper. Sometimes it's actually an amazing skill. And I feel like I've developed like the teeniest little percentage of it as a mom of five, but like it's worth looking to them for that kind of emotional stuff too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. And I'm already like, now my mind is turning. Like I bet there are things that middle and high school teachers do that are also equally helpful. And I'm just, I'm thinking of the ones of little ones. So yeah, I love that. Okay. I have a couple more. And one I mentioned earlier when it comes to forts and brick blocks and large, big motor stuff, you know, like using your house. For me, I sometimes have to remind myself that I can arrange my house and my furniture however I want. And sometimes stuck inside seasons of life require that you make what feels like a big change. Like I'm already right now today thinking of moving our dining room table against the wall and creating a little bit more floor space for Lego and like things like that. Like you get to, if you, you know, live in an apartment or a condo or a house and you're in charge of your furniture and your space, you might want to like, okay, these two kids are going to share a room and we're going to create a playroom for the next 6 weeks. Like that kind of stuff always feels like a way bigger project than it is. But with, you know, as someone who likes to move furniture around myself and rearrange rooms, that can be done relatively quickly, and it might open up a whole different way of using your space that suits this season better. So that's just like maybe planting a seed that if the house doesn't feel like it's serving you, you know, you can move something outside, create a play area outside.
And it doesn't have to stay that way forever.
No. Like, you know, it can be like for a week or two. So that was one. Here's one. Remember that babies, toddlers, and preschoolers do not need to be entertained with enrichment activities
yes.
every moment of every day. I mean, I like to channel my ancestors and think about like strapping a one-year-old on my back and going about my day. Of course, I'm talking to them, I'm singing to them, I'm making eye contact, but they're along for the ride with what I want to do that day. And you know, this is going to be a balance because there are going to be stuck inside days where the kids need some time. They need, you know, they need to play and they need you to get out. And that's why we made a whole list of products. So I'm not saying throw all those product ideas away, right. but remember that that's not, we're not suggesting you do that for 12 hours a day, every day. That's
right.
one tool in your toolbox is to get out the paper dolls or the stickers. But there is plenty of good things that happen when your kids are just with you and you are making dinner, unloading the dishwasher, and they're playing with Tupperware on the floor. Like, I just think we can remove some of the responsibility on moms to be homeschoolers all the time, every minute.
Right.
Because I don't think that's necessary.
I don't either. And I think it all plays into exactly what we've said. And Sarah, I think you're really good about pointing this out regularly. That sometimes what you're really doing when you sit down and do the activity is you're kind of buying time later. Mm-hmm. It's like put in the half hour now so that everyone's happy. Mm-hmm. And then you know that like later on you can get time to just like do whatever it is you or want or need to mm-hmm. do. So it's not like when we give all these ideas for enrichment things or whatever, or you're getting them from your kid's school or whatever. Like that doesn't mean you have to sit down and do school for 8 hours.
Right. Right.
or whatever, no. you know, whatever it is.
Agreed. And the yeah. older kids get, I think it's so useful for them to know that you are not put on this earth to provide them with ideas for what to do. And for some reason, they forget that and they just wander right. in and they're like, I don't know what to do. And then I just like cheerfully ignore that completely.
Right.
Like this is
kind of like a teacher.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then finally, you can always reset after a bad day. And this is a reminder that I'm going to need for myself. I've had like manic bouts of energy where I'm like, I'm going to bake and homeschool everyone. And then I go into this place of like, oh my gosh, like what is even happening right now? So just remember like the day that goes really well, you may not be able to repeat it tomorrow, but the day that goes really badly, you get to reset. You get to reset. Yes. You can
and reset. You probably won't repeat it tomorrow.
No, and you know? And you can yeah. set new rules. You could maybe you come out like guns blazing and you have a whole schedule and a whole system and you're that type. And if that blows up within a couple of days, like you're allowed to say, hey, kids, that doesn't seem to be working. So we're going to try something else. Like you are allowed to do that. And nobody exactly knows what's going on right now. So I'm just a reminder that you can reset midday. You can reset, you know, twice right. within the same day. So
love it. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And before we go, we wanted to give you a heads up that this coming week is drum roll, please. Sarah, do you know how to make a drum roll with your mouth? Oh my gosh. You're so good at it. I can't do that. It is our 5-year anniversary of this podcast. Oh, I can't gosh. Believe it.
I know. I can't either. Well, there's nowhere that we'd rather be than celebrating with you all. So yeah, March 19th, 2015 is actually when the Mom Hour dropped its very first episode. And we have a few fun things up our sleeves to celebrate this coming week. So just make sure you're following us on Instagram and look out for some of that fun stuff coming your way later in the week.
And we'll be back with you next week with another all new episode because here we are 5 years in and we're still showing up.
Here we are. You can't get rid of us.
Here we are. Exactly. We'll talk to you then.